Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browdy. She is Marjorie. And here with us in Studio 3 for a preview of local performances, and some of these are great, is GBH's Brian O'Donovan. He's obviously host of A Celtic Sojourn. Brian, it's great to see you again.
Great to be back here, guys, on days when so much seriousness is being discussed.
I know, a little light point. Something a little light and fun.
And
I am a big fan of The Moth that we run here on National Public Radio and WGBH. I want to know about this kind of local version of The Moth. This is fantastic.
It really is, Marjorie. It's called Mass Mouth, which is a great expression. Mass Mouth. Isn't that a great expression to begin with? And their logo reflects that as well. But it's really a terrific organization, very close to the ground, founded by a group of people who simply believe in the power of stories. Now, a lot of folks know about The Moth because it's been very, very successful on National Public Radio. Here locally, WGBH is very much involved in producing a Moth main stage at the Wilbur Theatre every October. But the power, the simple power of stories, this is structured even a little more organically, a little close to the ground. It just asks people to tell stories in their own words that are true in small little snippets. And the difference with these guys is they do it as a full contact sport. It's actually judged and has a
competitive... You're a judge, aren't you?
Yeah, you've got it. I am a judge tomorrow night in the finals, which is happening at Coolidge Corner. It has done for a number of years.
So I want to know, do you have to like pass any review, or can you just be any Tom, Dick, or Harry that shows up at Coolidge Corner Theater and gets up on the stage?
Well, it's kind of like baseball. There's a AAA system and then into the major leagues. So they do story slams, they're called.
Okay.
Like poetry slams, you remember when?
Yes.
Very, very popular. Amazing things to go to. So they have a whole round of story slams that happen regularly during the year, and the best of those storytellers are chosen to compete in the finals happening tomorrow night at Coolidge Corner. So you're seeing the creme de la creme. But in fairness, it is really important to point out, as I do, and I'm a judge tomorrow night, that this is a kind of a superimposition. How do you judge a story? It's like, you know, judging a piece of music for objective or with objective criteria. It's almost impossible. But it does give a little bit of extra interest to what's happening.
How long is the average? Well, first of all, I read today that the range in age is age 15 to almost 90, which is terrific. How long is the typical? Are there rules or what's the deal?
Oh, there's absolutely rules for
what
this. I think it's 4 minutes is the story. You have to finish up at a particular time. They give you a warning bell. And then if you go over the actual limit of the story, then you're actually penalized for that. But isn't it a great thing in these days of screens, everybody looking at a screen?
Yeah. Well, they're also such fun. I mean, I love to listen to The Moth. This New York City cop was on The Moth just a couple of days ago talking about, you know,
wasn't that great? So emotional about his father.
His father dying. He has such a great accent. I mean, you could tell this guy was
real
from New York.
Real
New York. And it was just, I was just riveted. I mean, I had to turn off the electric toothbrush so I could hear the rest of this guy's story. He was terrific.
Well, that's the power of storytelling. And a storyteller herself, Nora Dooley, is one of the inspirational leaders of this effort, Mass Mouth. Lots of other volunteers involved. People who believe that in this day and age of electronic distraction, that one of the things that is most powerful is the ancient art of just passing on experiences from person to person. And guess what? It's caught on. If you go to the final tomorrow night, you will see the demographic is very, very young and hip. People are waiting for a chance to
see. And it's a neat theater, too, the Coolidge Corner Theater.
Do you have any samples for us? Or?
I do. I've got this one sample of a guy called Ben Cunningham who won a few years ago. This is the start of a story that he told, and it has a riveting premise. We will give you the conclusion of this and listen to Ben Cunningham as he gets the crowd into the action of his story.
So I started to follow him, and I saw another customer service worker who's really good at dealing with situations like these. And I said, Frank, I think that man put something, maybe chicken, in his pants. So we both followed him, and we tiptoed around, and then finally, Frank decided he was going to confront him. Now, Frank, with a very thick accent from Africa, walked up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, I see a bulge in your pants, and I want you to give me the meat in your pants right now."
That is just fabulous. That is so great.
This is a true story. Ben Cunningham was a customer service guy. They spotted somebody, you know, shoplifting chicken, basically, but by putting it in an unusual place right into the pants and tried to get the meat out of his pants. And that story concludes with the guy actually eventually capitulated, dropped his pants, and he had half of the supermarket shelves in there. So, and this was a true story, obviously, with some hyperbole included, but that's legitimate as well. And it's a personal story that really just intrigued the crowd. And he won the, I think, 2011 competition.
So tomorrow night at the Coolidge Corner, and I'm assuming tickets are available or are they not?
They may be available. If there are, there are only a handful, because for the finals, as you can imagine, with people coming to rally around the competitors. But Coolidge Corner, check it out, or massmouth.org. Massmouth.org.
Okay, let's move on now a little classical music. What is going on with this Boston Early Music Festival, please, Brian?
Well, this is one of my favorite festivals that goes on in June, and I'm a little ahead of the game because many of these events sell out. And this is something that you've got to plan ahead on. You know, there's lots of events, lots of concerts there. But it's an amazing undertaking by a group called Boston Early Music Festival. They've been doing this now for a number of years and really have done such a superb job. But what I want to say again, Marjorie and Jim, like we talked about Bluegrass Festival here a few months ago. And you said, Jim, you hated bluegrass. You
know, I did say that.
You did say that at the beginning, and that's legitimate. But I think, I really believe people just get these notions into their head early on. They say, I hate classical music, or I don't know anything about it, or I'm scared of my life that I'll clap at the wrong time, and Mrs. Powers next door to me is going to give me a dirty look as I sit in a hardback chair and then look as if I know
what
I'm talking about.
You always did that. You always clapped at the wrong time of the symphony.
This really connects. We went to see Andras Nelson's early on in his tenure as the conductor of the BSO. And another Brian from here, Brian McCreath, one of our colleagues, took us there, and Ron Della Chiesa took us. And I didn't know when to clap. And I literally followed Marjorie's lead because she knows a little bit about classical music. But I really felt, even though it was a fabulous night, like a little bit like a fish out of water. So what does this Boston Early Music Festival do to disabuse those of us who are either non-supporters or ignorant of the behaviors that are appropriate?
Well, I'm not too sure it sets out to do that per se. It gets in some of the greatest performers out there, but I'm here to do that. I'm here to say drop any barriers like I did with bluegrass and just go and enjoy it like you would any other music. And it really is the type of music, especially early music. It's not that very cacophonous contemporary music that sometimes people at the BSO complain about. They certainly did with the last conductor, that it was too atonal and too difficult to access. Early music is perhaps the most accessible. And I think that anybody who just likes music, take a listen to this piece, a piece called Concerto Sove, that will be featured, I believe, in this festival. Isn't this the music you want when you're dying, Jim?
I don't expect to be doing that anytime soon. But can I tell you, Brian, I'm going to sing your song, so to speak, for a second. For example, I wanted to go because I wanted to see Andras Nelson that night.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's a celebrated
rival.
It was great.
Spectacular.
It was great.
And you know what it is? The place where I'm going is, you were as good an advocate for live music attendance as anybody I know. When you were there, even if it's a genre that people think, like me, that you're not going to be crazy about, when you get to watch the musicians, when you get to watch the conductor, and I'm sure had I gone to bluegrass, had I watched the performers, it's a whole different thing than just listening to a CD somewhere.
Totally. And that's what I say, you know, constantly when I'm so enjoy coming on with you guys, is get off the couch. Just give up that Game of Thrones. And just for a little while, get out there and just pick something to go to. Because as you pointed out there, Jim, live music, live art is where it's at. Whether it's a story, whether it's a piece of early music. Take a listen to this piece. Jordi Savall is coming to town. He is an amazing conductor and he plays the viol, an ancient instrument of the early music period that is just absolutely gorgeous. A John Dowland piece. Tell me, Marjorie, even if you music.
I love this kind of stuff. I don't know what it is about me and Renaissance medieval music. I just love it. I love it. It's just It's just great.
And it's accessible. Just to sit in the beautiful places like Jordan Hall at the New England Conservatory, where a lot of this goes on, you will just have a great musical experience. You'll learn a bit about the development of music, but most importantly, you'll be enveloped in something really special and good for the soul. Again, juxtapose it with what we have to deal with on a daily basis. Look what's happening in Baltimore. Look what's happening in Syria. And just think that music hath charms to soothe us in some way. How important is that to us?
And by the way, the website, if you haven't said already, bemf.org to find out about these June festivities. Now, while I don't go to symphony halls that often, Brian, I am a huge fan of porches. And it there's nothing more fun than sitting on a porch on a great summer day.
It's so Boston.
And there is this I never heard of this, and I live
neither
one town over. Tell us about what's going on in Somerville.
Well, it's coming up, and in my opinion, it's literally the best concept in a public event.
I'm totally
ever
with you.
Yeah, as they
great.
Say in Somerville. I mean, really, how brilliant is it for a town that has so many great artistic residents as Somerville, Massachusetts, and has so many great porches, you know, the basic architecture reflecting the basic architecture of Boston. And they said, why not have a porch fest? Go out on your porch. You don't require a license to do so. You do need to register, but there's no problem with this. They just want to know who's doing what. And go on your porch and play for your neighbors and play for your visitors. So if you are around on May 16th, that's coming up just a couple of weeks from now, Saturday from 12 noon to 6 p.m., go to Somerville, go to Davis Square and radiate out from there, wander around and see an absolute wealth of music of all genres being played simply on people's porches.
And my initial reaction to this, even though I love porches and I love live music, was, well, it's a little much. But then I'm reading the description of this Porch Fest in Somerville, and they compare it to what's the difference between doing an open studios tour, which a lot of us have done. You go to a particular community on a particular day, go from one art studio to another. So this is, in many ways, even better. I love that. How long has this been happening? Do you know?
It's been happening for about 4 years. It's relatively new, but it's received a lot of attention because its elegance in its simplicity. It really is an elegant solution to saying, how do we celebrate the entire community?
Suppose it rains.
I think they might have a rain day, but which have also got, I think they might have a rain day the following day, but if not, it's porches and people are tough in New England. It's not going to snow, at least I don't believe it is.
But it would be really neat, though, walking around the neighborhood and hearing people
do it. Honestly, Davis Square has a subway stop right there. Head over to Davis Square, so many great restaurants. And then just the radiation out from there, all parts of Somerville will be engaged in this. But it's the genre diversity that's really, really interesting.
Let's hear some of the music.
Well, we're going to start off with Matt Glazer, who's a great fiddler, well known in town, and plays old-time Appalachian jazz, and is teaches at Berklee School of Music. Here he plays a piece called "Some of Those Days." He was at Porch Fest last year as a resident of Somerville.
Even though that's great on its own, close your eyes for a second, unless you're driving, and you say to yourself, we see Matt Glazer. Is it Matt Glazer?
Matt Glazer.
Sitting on his porch, wherever it is, in Somerville, playing this, and you're just walking. It is terrific.
And a bunch of people walking around or sitting on the lawn. You know, some people get elegant about it. They put up, you know, chairs and little canopies and might have lemonade or something like that. It's just what a great neighborhood idea. Tim Geeran, another New York product, but now is really known as a Boston musician, great rock and roller. Here he gives us a piece called "No Remedy" as a contrast to what we just heard.
The visionaries, anybody, anywhere. Somebody take me for a ride. I got my thumb up in the air. I'm not rest assured the way I was when I was young. Just can't find that peace of mind. I just can't hold my tongue.
I love this.
Isn't that cool?
Nobody asking for no change in the scene. Nobody looking for no remedy.
This is great.
just a little movement.
But again, Jim and Marjorie, just like we talked about, music has power to change your mood. I can see you guys are moving around.
Yeah.
You're smiling. You know, we're talking about the Supreme Court. We're talking about depressing things happening. We're talking
about
same-sex marriage.
You're right.
We're talking about coming out as straight in bay windows. That's
Matt
a new
O'Malley
development.
Did that. That's right.
Sunscreen for skin cancer. You're right. This is lightening the mood. There's no question
Brian,
about it.
I should know this. We know you can sing because, as I've said to you repeatedly off the air, one of the most memorable moments in our 2.5 years here was when you started singing with Tim Brennan from the Dropkick Murphys. He's playing the guitar and you were singing. It was just one an electric moment. It wasn't electric, but it was great. Do you play an instrument?
I do.
What do you play?
I play a few different instruments, but it's literally a jack of all trades and master of none that I would gladly give up for virtuosity in any one of
them. But my guess is you're pretty good.
I play okay, you know.
What do you play?
I play guitar and piano and sing, largely, and a couple of other instruments
as well. So if you lived in Somerville, would you be on your porch?
I most certainly would be on my porch because there is nothing better. The uplifting, you know, they say giving gifts is better than receiving gifts. Giving the gift of music, especially free and especially in a community like Somerville, which is just thriving at the moment. I mean, in every way, it's just thriving. It's just a buzzy place to be there. I mean, it really is the new Cambridge, where Cambridge was.
Curtatone, as mayor, I think, gets pretty much rave reviews.
Absolutely.
On the arts front, on the development front, the whole deal.
There's a lot of lessons to be learned from Somerville, Massachusetts, which was, as we know, the butt of jokes back in the 1980s.
You know, you probably already said this, but say it again anyway, because I missed it. When is the Porch Fest in Somerville?
Porch Fest is coming up on the 16th of May. That's Saturday. I'm not too sure, actually. It's a good question, but you can check it out, somervillecouncil.org. Or just
Arts Council. Arts Council.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or just check it out under Porch Fest, and you can register if you're from Somerville, but make a date with it. It just celebrates music, and the genres, as I said, are different. If we've got time to finish up, we're going to listen to some electronica.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, please.
But before we get to that, let me ask you, Marjorie wants to know, she's too shy to ask. So let's assume there was a hailstorm, Brian, on that particular day.
Or hurricane.
Or let's assume there were locusts. Do they have a locust? In any case, what are we listening to, Brian O'Donovan?
We're listening to a great electronica girl band called Robotron. Actually, the piece we're listening to is Robotron. But this, again, is electronica music, not my favorite genre to tune into or listen to on a CD. But when you see it live or performed live or generated live, would that be the term?
Freeze Pop. What
really
a great name.
Isn't it a great name?
Yeah, Freeze Pop. I love that.
Take a listen for a second.
He wants me in that special way and whispers in his robot voice.
I'll keep you safe today and make you feel okay. Forget about Tuesday.
I got to get Jim Browdy in that voice.
I
think the ratings
that
would go up.
That is Jim Browdy, by the way, let me tell you.
That's pretty good. But
Brian,
we all
want
our own robot. Brian, thank you very much for coming in. Brian is the host of A Celtic Sojourn, which you can catch Saturdays at 3 o'clock right here on WGBH 89.7. And thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can also download the BPR podcast on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, search Boston Public Radio Podcast, and subscribe to hear today's featured segment. Tomorrow, we're going to have our medical ethicist, Art Kaplan, and the Secretary of Veterans Services. What you got on TV tonight, Jim?
A lot about Nepal, and Adam and Emily will be fresh back from the Saranayev courtroom reporting on what happened in it.
Okay, we're a production of WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Chelsea Murs, Will Roseth, Amanda McGowan, Catherine Whalen are our team. John Parker is our engineer. I am Marjorie Egan.
I am Jim Freeze Pop Browdy. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
I'll keep you safe.